This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:14 in the evening and you're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. And now we're moving on to our first story of this hour, which is about the free breakfast program for school students. This is kind of back in the news because KRI, or Khazana Research Institute, released a report today on the program that was pitched by the Education Ministry. And the argument here is that while the initial pitch of Breakfast for All and not a targeted breakfast program was costly, it would end up providing many benefits for children.
So for context, it was first meant to be, the program was meant to be given to all students regardless of their socioeconomic background. However, after Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad became the acting education minister, the program was rejected, so only poor students were eligible for free breakfast. This made the program a lot more targeted than universal.
So this report basically argues that the gains that could be seen from making the program universal include improving education by making sure no kid goes to class hungry, whether it's because of money, lack of time, or even appetite. And it would also help to build bridges and friendships among children of different backgrounds. And these are the arguments that we've been seeing pretty much from the very beginning, right? Every time we discuss this, the only real argument in favour of, the two main arguments in favour of keeping it targeted is saving money and saving food, you know, not wasting food. But these points of ensuring that there's equality, making sure that people get into the habit of sitting down and eating together, these are things that have been talked about from the beginning. So I think it's interesting to see it formalized in a study.
Yeah, and anecdotally, you know, we've heard these sort of things coming from teachers, from those who work in the education sector, that if you do have programs like these, but they are segmented, there is often a feeling or sense of embarrassment in having to take up these free meals. It's just interesting that now, as you've said, Lynn, that it's a bit more formalized in the form of research. And I guess just on that note, to also perhaps see that how then do you quantify and put a money value to the gains that we see from this research, right? Whether it's the kids perhaps getting a better educational outcomes, how do we put a quantity on that? How do we put a money value to the bridges and the friendships and perhaps the racial relations built among different students together?
In an ideal setting.
Yeah.
That's always the hope. So we wanted to know what the public thought about this. So we went around and asked a few people. And the question was whether the free breakfast program should be available to all school kids or only for those who need it. And this is what they said.
I would say better to only to those who would need it.
The whole idea of free breakfast program for school kids is to improvise their quality in education and also mental quality as well, because you know, a full stomach is a happy stomach. So I feel that everyone should be able to have the chance to get it.
For me, I think just the kids that who really need it, I think it's more suitable for them.
A free breakfast school program should be for all students. And I know that maybe is not economically viable, but it helps in equalizing the inequalities between, especially for children who pick up on that thing quite quickly.
Then we asked if they think eating together is a good way to promote understanding among people.
Yes, definitely. Without holding their phones during dinner time, actually.
Because when they sit and talk to people, you know, you will get to know people more based on their character instead of where they stay, how poor they are.
Obviously, you talk to them. So, you know, you want to find out, you know, why are you eating this? Why are you eating that? So
I had like a dining session with some people that I don't know. It was a dare. So we sat together, we became friends, and you didn't know that my mutuals and their mutuals, we have like small world.
And lastly, we asked if economic backgrounds influence how people make friends.
Maybe to some people, yes. But I think that as a person, you know, you wouldn't really think of economic background when you make friends. You know, you think of them as individuals.
I believe so, because I know some people, they like to take care of their social status, I would say. They want to hang out with the popular kids or the rich kids.
Yes, because economic background definitely affects your geographical location as well. So you stay in the middle of KL, so therefore your friends is around that area as well.
So we'd like to hear from you. I mean, firstly, a question we've asked before, but in light of research, I suppose we'll ask it again. Do you think that the free breakfast program should be a targeted one or made available to all? But also, Do you believe in the power of eating together and how that can actually bring people closer together? Would you have any stories you'd like to share? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. To discuss this further, we're crossing over to the author of the report, Jared Ramadan, who is the research associate at KRI. Jared, thank you so much for joining us. So what were some of your observations of the free breakfast program so far since its implementation earlier this year?
So far, it's actually very hard for, I think, any policymakers to assess whether the program has any hiccups, because usually the first phase is the time for you to basically collect data and basically see whether there's any room for improvement. However, I will say that the way things are run, it seems that it adopts a very similar approach or design to the Rancangan Makanan Tambahan, which has its successes. But one of the things we pointed out in our report was we need to reassess the design of the program, and the only way for us to do that is basically to do more studies.
So the big debate here is whether all students should get the free breakfast or if it should only be made available to students in need. How did the study assess the pros and cons of both?
So what we did, what my co-authors Igan and I did, was basically we did a very extensive literature review, listing out factors that you need to consider when it comes to deciding on whether a program should be free, should be universal or targeted. The decision on whether any school feeding program should be received by all or only to a targeted population is very context specific. You need to be aware of the pros and cons of both methods. So when it comes to targeting, for example, one of the most popular criticism of targeting is that you're going to exclude deserving people. There is no targeting method that 100% captures the targeted population. So you would need to be aware of who you are trying to capture and whether you can actually capture them. And there are other issues when it comes to targeting as well. School feeding specifically, there's a lot of studies that have recorded cases of stigmatization, basically meaning that kids who are supposed to receive the food declined or basically not participate because they felt they were ridiculed and made fun of being poor. So what we hope to raise is basically to get the best answer on whether food should be targeted or free for all is it's not just about fiscal feasibility. You also need to look into these factors and what are the context-specific factors in Malaysia.
Right. So the argument has always been that opening it up to all students would incur a lot of additional cost. How can that aspect be addressed?
Considering that it's an endeavour that would take huge costs to finance, basically a phased implementation is a possible way to run the program. Basically, this would mean that you would increase the number of receiving students by phases. And by doing this, you're basically giving an avenue for policymakers to finance the program and basically to modify and redesign the program to suit local needs and achieve the targeted objectives. So I think with the PSP, seeing that it's in the first phase, it gives the possibility of expanding it further, perhaps even into a universal program.
Could you elaborate more on why you argue that the free breakfast program benefits students from higher income families as well?
Yeah. So right now the programs are mainly targeted for the poor, and the idea of expanding it is because children from higher income households are not necessarily very healthy. When you look at statistics, for example, you'll see a lot of numbers on malnutrition, which includes undernutrition like stunting and wasting, and also diet-related issues such as obesity and diabetes are happening throughout higher income households as well. So the benefits would definitely be related to health as well for the higher income households. But the potentials of school feeding is more than just health. If you look into the literature, you'll see a lot of benefits in terms of children's education, in terms of retention and academic performance. Children who are not hungry, children who are eating healthy are usually performing better in schools relative to those that don't. And also you should think about the idea of students, regardless of economic background, eating together and basically talking and socializing with each other. I think that's a very neglected benefit of school feeding that most of us are missing out, and that could be of potential use in the Malaysian context.
So we've looked at cost on the one hand and then better nutrition and social benefits on the other. How do you weigh between the two?
Yeah, so when it comes to policies, we always do sort of a benefit-cost ratios, either formally or informally, just in our head. School feeding has been done. A lot of researchers have done that as well on school feeding programs. It is incredibly hard to do. You can measure, say, for example, anthropometric indicators, which is basically height, weight, and waist circumference. So basically, are they growing up well based on physical attributes? You can measure the education performance of kids. So how do you transform these benefits, say, into monetary terms to basically weigh it against the costs? That's extremely difficult when it comes to programs like this. And I think that's why there's a bit of underappreciation of school feeding programs, because people don't understand or basically don't see the benefits that can come from school feeding, not only from feeding the poor, but from feeding everyone, because the benefits don't necessarily just accrue to the poor, but it accrues to the community as a whole. So I think we need to understand better on the benefits of school feeding and realize that it's an investment on children rather than a nutrition intervention.
And what were the lessons that we learned from past school feeding programs? Do you think that they're being incorporated into the current scenario?
For Malaysia, the past school feeding program, which is actually running, is the Rancangan Makanan Tambahan. That has been running, if I'm not mistaken, from the 1970s, from 1979 specifically, if I'm not mistaken. So that has been running for quite some time. And as I said before, the model for the program Sarapan Sekolah is really influenced by Rancangan Makanan Tambahan. There's a lack of recent literature on the effectiveness of the program today. So I think there need to be a reassessment of the program Rancangan Makanan Tambahan, and also, of course, of program Sarapan Pagi, since they're both related. I hope that there's a better understanding of what the malnutrition situation of children are today in Malaysia, and the programs will be redesigned to benefit those children.
So, Jared, last question. Is there anything else that you would like to see in our school feeding programs?
I hope that people would see it more than a nutrition intervention. I think one of the things that we're trying to raise in the report was basically listing out the possible benefits or the potential of school feeding, not only to our children, but also to our communities and to our local farmers, if it's well-designed. If school feeding would procure from local producers, for example, it would be of great benefit to the welfare of local farmers and to invigorate our local agriculture. So I hope that school feeding transform from just being a nutrition intervention to a much bigger investment on children.
Jared, thanks again for speaking to us. That was Jared Ramadan, Research Associate at KRI and author of the report that explored the free breakfast program pitched by the Education Ministry. So again, we know we've asked you before, but we'd like to just ask you again. What do you make of the free breakfast program? Do you think that it should be for all students, or is it something that should be targeted instead only to students who fall into that category of being in need? And also, what have your experiences been like in terms of social bonding over food? We are Malaysians. Share your stories. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.